All right, open lines means the show's all yours. Maybe the international line is open. Grab it right now while you can. We'll get back to your open line calls next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Well, who's been waiting the longest? I think that would be Wade in Ault, Colorado on Coast to Coast. Open lines. Wade?
Hello, how are you?
All right, great, terrific. Where do you want to go with this?
Okay, I've been hearing all this chatter on the radio about the TSA not being able to profile. And if you've crossed the border, and I'm pretty sure you have on several occasions, both Canada and the U.S. profile all the time. The customs agents ask you all kinds of questions when you cross the border.
It's true.
I don't understand why the TSA isn't allowed to do that.
You know, that's a really good question because those are some fundamental profiling questions, right? They'll ask you, when you were here, what did you do? What were your activities like? What did you see? Yeah, and those are, yeah, really basic kind of profiling questions. There would be red flag trigger questions, I'm sure, that would come up depending on what your answers are.
Yeah, and they watch your responses, your eye movement,
yep.
Your facial movements, whether you hum and haw or, you know, stuff like that. So it's pretty basic. I don't understand why the TSA isn't allowed to do that. And there's another thing. Why would they be doing it within the country? If you're leaving the country or if you're entering the country, I can understand doing it then. But I can't understand why they would be so concerned with people traveling within the country.
Well, I'm with you there. I mean, I think this is part of what is so confusing about our security answer to these questions that get raised. Remember, too, of course, that the terrorists that attacked on 9/11 were traveling within the country. So they were flying from Boston to some, you know, out west, and then they routed it to New York. So, I mean, I think that there's that. But the other question of the human intel, let's go back to that, because I think you get so much more by being able to watch something and somebody and really start developing a sense of what's going on with an individual as they're going through security, as opposed to, you know, making this be all about the technology. Like, for example, again, to go back to the Israeli model, as I understand it, you know, they interview you very briefly. Mostly it's just to be able to get you nearer to where the dogs are, or where the bomb sniffing dogs are. So they don't have to touch your genitals in order to know that you, whether or not you have a bomb in your pants. And if you did, if you had some sort of underwear, you know, a bomb that was woven into the fabric of your T-shirt, it may not even show up on this airport scanner anyway, but that would show up on the nose of a dog. And it's interesting how the low-tech solution might move people along a lot faster, keep things moving along nicely, and give us more information than we'd be getting from all of this technology anyway. Dennis is in Illinois on Coast to Coast. Hey, Dennis.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Ian.
Sure.
My question is, and you touched on it with that last caller, is about how this enhanced security that's been going on here lately, I don't see how it does us all that much good or makes us all that much more safe if somebody can board a plane in a different country. And, you know, like in the case of that underwear bomber, I think you interviewed the lawyer and people saw him. Basically, he had all kinds of problems when he boarded the plane. He did, his passport wasn't in order.
Right.
And somehow some guy in a suit was able to go and basically intimidate the lady behind the ticket counter and get him aboard the airplane anyway.
Right.
So with all this that we're doing with the pat downs and the scanners and everything, I don't see how all that is going to prevent somebody in a different country from boarding a plane. Do you?
No, I think your point is exactly right. I mean, you know, you always attack the weakest link. You know, the point where the armor, you know, meets the fastener that holds the armor in place at its weakest point. I mean, and this is where, but, you know, it comes right down to is security theater, maybe. Maybe we got to look at it the other way. And there's lots of different things, by the way, you could be calling about it. It doesn't have to be about TSA. I'm just on a jag about it. So you don't have to join me in the jag if you don't want to. But the, you know, there are, the security theater gives us an impression of security, gives us an impression of increased safety. And maybe that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Problem with that is, that only lasts until somebody pulls off something that was obviously a hole in the system all along. And then we're back at, you know, we'll go back to square one. We create the new procedures, the new kind of security dances that give us that sense that we're all going to get out of this alive. And that is the tough thing about this kind of security. It's we can't possibly stop it all. We know that there are things we can do, but I just don't think that these procedures are it. Kay is in Reno, Nevada on Coast to Coast. Hey, Kay.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have three statements that I learned over the week. Last week, I listened to Fox News and this channel that you're on, and I heard one of the men say that there was a Muslim lady that got permission somewhere to only be patted down from her shoulders to her head. The rest of her was left alone. I only heard it once. I haven't heard it again. Mm. And I'm curious about it because that to me would be dangerous with all the clothes.
Sure.
And then my daughter is a police officer on the west side of Phoenix, and they've been told, and I don't know why she would be told about it because she's not near an airport, but they were told that they're trying to push that you cannot have any water, any liquid, an hour before you get on the plane.
Oh, that's got to be a myth.
My son-in-law says that it just sounds way out of line.
Yeah.
They've been told it in the police office, so, you know, I'm inclined to listen to them.
Well, I understand that, but even guys in police offices can pick up weird stuff from the internet. You can't do a bladder check. You can't. I mean, take that back. Until they have the bladder bomber, you know, until somebody swallows nitroglycerin or something and they have it in their bladder, then maybe everybody has to pee in a cup before they can get on a plane. So you may not be right yet, unfortunately. Yeah. You may be right sometime next week, but I appreciate that. Let me get to Russ, who's in Loveland, Ohio, on Coast to Coast. Russ?
Yeah, Ian, how you doing?
Good, all right. Go ahead, open lines.
I'm going to take us to a different direction about the trade-off for security.
Good.
In the mid-90s, I don't know how much you know about the Illuminati, but you probably know a little bit about it. And I had read up some different stuff by John Todd and different things. Anyway, I went to this seminar, and this man that was raised in the Illuminati, and he said he was telling the kind of plan that they were using, but he wasn't given a time frame. He said the first thing he was doing was to get everybody wrapped up in materialism and split the family unit up, okay? And then he said that that when they'd done that, he said that our government would create terrorist attacks and blame them on foreign countries, and we, the American people, would willingly give up our constitutional rights in turn for protection from our government, which was really the one that was creating the problem. And he said this has been the agenda of the Illuminati for many years, and this was way prior to 9/11. I heard this in the mid-90s.
You know, I've heard, if I'm totally honest with you, I've heard that same thing, but not associated with John Todd. He was the guy who was against Dungeons and Dragons, right? He was the guy. He was the main spokesperson against the world.
No, he was in the Illuminati, and he was in the Council of 13, and he came out of that and became a Christian. He went around to churches.
Yeah, that's the same guy. He was against Dungeons and Dragons. That's how I know the guy, because he came out And he said Dungeons and Dragons were leading us down into the occult, pagan. And he I thought he was born in a witchcraft family, not a Illuminati family.
John Todd, actually, John Todd, when he, I used to have some of the tapes, I can't hear, but John Todd, you remember the show Dark Shadows?
Yeah.
John Todd, okay, and there's a Lance Collins. He said, actually, that show was actually the real story of the Collins family that goes way back. An involvement with witchcraft. But this fellow, I don't remember this fellow's name, but anyway, but he was saying that whenever that our government would create these terrorist attacks and blame them on foreign countries, that it says we Americans would willingly give up our constitutional rights. Yeah. And he said, and the thing of it is, he said, you know, they work it like that. And see, and most Americans, see, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and so there's a lot of things that I don't have too much confidence in this country that I learned while I was in Vietnam, and I won't go into that. But anyway.
Right. Well, you know, back to John Todd real quick. Was just help me out with, I haven't heard his name mentioned in a long time.
Yeah.
Wasn't he convicted of rape or child molestation?
No, here's what happened.
He wasn't?
Okay. Here's what happened. Do you know who Jack Chick is?
No.
Okay, Jack Chick makes these what they call Chick publications, which are religious things, and they deal with all different realms of different things. And he did some of the things that he got information from John Todd. Okay, what happened? I called the Jack Chick or wrote him, I can't remember, a while back. It's been several years, and I asked him about John Todd. And he said John was letting out too much information, and the Illuminati trumped up some phony charges and put him in prison. And he
he was convicted of rape, but you're saying that was an Illuminati plot.
But it was all done through the Illuminati, because since he had left the Illuminati and become a Christian, he was letting too many things be known. And so they trumped up some phony charges, and then he started giving him disinformation so people would lose contact with him. He had a place set up out in the West where people that wanted to come out of witchcraft could come to, and he had guards and all that, and some of these church people said, oh, you shouldn't have guns and stuff like that. And he was gone traveling, and while he was gone, people from out of the witchcraft thing came in there and murdered six of girls that come out of the occult. And John said, you don't realize the fact that they've got bounties on their head when they come out of that. But he used to advertise, and Chick did, in the back of some of these Chick publications about that. But this other guy, I can't remember his name.
I'm running out of time, but I appreciate that.
Basically, you know, it's what our government is doing these terrorist attacks and blaming it on somebody else. And this is what the man said. And he was raised in the Illuminati all his life.
Thank you, Russ. I thought he was raised in witchcraft. I have to go back and see if I could find somebody. I remember John Todd. I wasn't into Dungeons and Dragons all that much, but I had really good friends who were. And so his name would come up a lot because they would read these publications about how Dungeons and Dragons are supposed to be the worst thing ever, and then he ends up getting arrested for and convicted of rape or child molestation or both. I can't remember, but and then he died in prison. So they were saying, look, you know, here's this guy who's accusing us, and look what happens to him. But as Russ said, that was an Illuminati plot. Let's go to Mike is in San Francisco, first time caller line on Coast to Coast. Mike?
Yeah, I read a while back, you know, how this all of this TSA stuff, all the bombings and things are just kind of an escalation. It's one event after another. You know, they get more serious. We figure out a way to find the guys that are bringing one kind of thing in, and then they figure another method of bringing something in. I think I read where Homeland Security was concerned about breast implants, that they might, that explosives may be hidden in a breast implant and brought in onto an aircraft that way. And, you know, given that scenario, if it came to pass, the next thing would be surgically implanting one, I would think.
Right. And that's that's something that they have already said they're working on is implanted gel bombs in breasts.
So the systems they're using right now, for the most part, a backscatter X-ray, which is a surface device. If they're going to have to penetrate your body, to look for things. That's worse than getting a chest x-ray. And you get those maybe assuming that you live to be, you know, 70 or 80. You may get like four or five of those in your lifetime. And, any more than that would be very, very bad for your health. And pilots, even the fact that they fly as much as they do with aluminum aircraft that don't shield them from cosmic rays and stuff, they get a lot of radiation as it is. I mean, much more than the average person. And that's one of the reasons they're allowing them to not go through those machines. Because it's a health risk.
Sure.
So,
that's
you know,
a good point.
Well, the point is that the bad guys, whoever they are, if it's, you know, whoever they are, they're trying to disable our economy. And they're doing a pretty good job of it so far. And if they could take down the aircraft industry, if, in other words, if business people couldn't fly, that's going to put a pretty serious dent in commerce. And it doesn't cost them anything to do it.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of the what was the name of the Twilight Zone episode where they turned off all the power on a street? And the monsters are due. I'm going to kind of slap back on the phone, so I'm going to put you on hold. The monsters are due on Maple Street. Remember that? And it was just a very simple idea that if an invading alien army really wanted to soften us up, only thing they had to do was get us to turn on each other. So. Although the episode of The Twilight Zone, I think, was really much more a commentary about, you know, sort of the commie witch hunt thing, that the monsters are due on Maple Street was just the idea that they could just turn off the power and then infer that some people had power over others, just turn the lights on in somebody's house and everybody would look at that person and everybody would start fighting each other on the streets. And that's when the aliens would take over. And I think it's the same idea, same principle. Just get us to be totally suspicious of each other and to mistreat each other, and half the battle is won. And I just think we have to be higher minded than that. I'll give you an example. I mentioned this last hour, but I didn't get back to it. Of a woman that called me and told me a story about a 13-year-old girl that she knew traveling with her best friend, was flying back into Minnesota, and the girl was being checked, being given the physical check, and the woman of the TSA agent felt a menstrual pad. Now, you know, you don't have to be a 13-year-old girl to appreciate the scariness of that feeling that somebody is invasively going up your leg and then they hit that and you're 13. And I think we can all relate to that. But in her case, she told them what it was and they made her prove it. And the woman said that the TSA woman pulled out her underwear, looked in her pants to verify that, and said, you're going to have to learn to use a tampon. Said that to a 13-year-old girl going through security. How does that make us safer? It's just the horror of that. It's security theater run amok, in my opinion. But it goes back to that idea. The monsters are due on Maple Street. We have to know better than to turn on each other in order to be safe. More open line calls in whatever direction you want to go. Coming up next on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. If you're standing outside some telephone booth trying to get through, we'll try to get you an open line coming up next. Tomorrow night, the art of nonconformity. Where is it that you think your life should be heading? What is it that you think you should be doing? Have you been trying to fit into some mold? How do you ever get out of that? We've got an example of what you can do and some simple tools for you to live the complete nonconformist's life Saturday night on Coast to Coast. More open line calls next. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. All right, so it's going to be a busy night here. I can tell already by the phones. Let's try to get on as many people as we can and pick up where we left off with Brittany in Roseville, California, on Coast to Coast on a wild card line. Brittany?
Hi, Ian. I just want to talk about TSA for a little bit. Have you ever flown in the Minneapolis airport?
Yeah, all the time. That's where I live.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So, I mean, have you noticed that? I mean, I haven't flown in out there because I'm actually from there. I haven't flown in and out of there since May, but I feel like there's a lot of, like, Somalians there. Not that I'm racist or anything like that, but it's like, I mean, you know as well as I do all the stuff that's going on with them and how, like, they had all those terrorists and all that stuff that are like affecting the Somali community right there off of like 94.
Well, let's be very clear, because you are painting with a slightly broad brush here. There's what Brittany's referring to, I hope, is that there has been a FBI monitored Somali pipeline where there has been money that has been traced going back from the local business community here back to terrorism, ports in Africa, the Middle East, and that some Somali gangs have been affiliated with some terrorism, and that there have been some people who are Somali that grew up normal American teenagers and then one day decided to go back and join Al-Qaeda. And so there's been some of that. Overwhelmingly, most Somalis here are like any other ethnic group. They love being here and they've assimilated perfectly. But I understand your point. There has been a persistent story about some Somali people who have been involved in terrorist activity. Yes.
Right. And it's like, who is to say, like what proper screening are they going through? Because I've heard a lot from TSA agents. They're like, there's such a high turnover rate because of all this controversy that's going on. It's like, I mean, they're pretty much just handing these jobs out now. And it's like, who's to say, they could let, their buddies through and like they could have any kind of bombs or anything like that for one point. But like the second point is really, I think this is kind of just like the eugenicists kind of building us up to prepare us, to have all of our liberties and everything like that taken away. I mean, obviously a 13-year-old, little white girl going to Minnesota isn't hiding bombs in her tampon or in her pad, I mean, that's just really ridiculous. Like,
it is.
What is the point of that,
We should be outraged by it. The point of it is an attempt to be holistic in the approach so that everybody is treated equally. And we can't ever make the assumption that if you are white, you're not a terrorist, because then that's exactly the time we'd get some other, blonde haired, blue eyed guy who went off, against the world somewhere in Germany and was recruited to become Al-Qaeda. So, I mean, we always have to be mindful of what we aren't doing. But your point is well taken. I mean, we have to get, and Brittany's point about the turnover, they can't ever get lax about that. I have no evidence that the TSA, by the way, are not fully training people, or that any one TSA agent could let people through security. But there's been plenty of work that's been done. Local reporter, friend of mine, Bob McNaney from 5 Eyewitness News, tracked stories where, without any real screening, you could get jobs at airports and then get through back doors through security all day long. Now, I think they may have plugged some of those holes, but even there, it just goes to show you, if you really want to do it, it won't be hard. Even let's get past the idea of how adults are treating adults. The idea that you could have an underwear, you could get a baby. If you're determined to be a terrorist, all you have to do is get a baby and make that diaper to be something that's, filled with the gel. All these diapers have that same type of dry thing with the dry granules that turn into a gel when activated with warm urine. You wouldn't be able to tell. And who would suspect that if somebody were taking a baby into a bathroom to change, who would be going terrorist? So, I mean, it's just even that, and they're not being searched. So what can you do? I mean, I think that's where we get caught up thinking that we're one more guideline away from some sort of perfect response to our insecurities. And I don't think we ever can be. West of the Rockies, Scott is in Puget Sound, Washington on Coast to Coast. Scott?
Hey, Ian. Nice to get through.
Glad to get you on. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know that, it seems like I've been listening to a lot of the people in the Facebook chat room area, and we all feel that to some degree that this show's topic and forums have really steered away from the grassroots movement that Art brought. So
tell me what you mean by that.
Well, just seems like there's too much mainstream topics that you guys are discussing and not enough paranormal stuff.
How can we ever not do both?
Well,
I mean, we can't.
It just seemed like there was less mainstream when Art was on.
Well, we can't invent people. Right? Well, we can't invent guests. We can't invent new happenings in the paranormal. So we are a show that's always been about truth and about the human experience, and we present topics and opinions that don't often make it into the mainstream. And in doing so, I wish we would have, I was just watching a thing tonight on UFO Hunters, which is a show I love, but it's material from 5 or 6 years ago. It's material we've covered 10 times on Coast to Coast. There's no point in doing it an 11th. So, I wish we had more people. Let your friends know on your chat. We're totally open to that. But we also aren't going to go out and try and hire actors.
I understand that. But are you maybe
running? What is it you feel we're ignoring?
Well, it just seems like, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of focus on this TSA stuff as of late. And, you know, there's stuff about the economy, which... Really?
These are all Art Bell topics, right? Well, I mean, these have been Art Bell topics. In fact, Art Bell was the one that started the whole gel bra thing. A previous caller brought that up and said he had heard about, you know, that they were going to be doing, you know, gels in breast implants or in bras. It was Art Bell who brought that up the first time. And I'll tell you just real quickly, I heard Art talk about it one night, and I mentioned it to Brian Ross, who is the investigative reporter for ABC News, and he went mainstream with it, but it was based on something that Art said on the show.
Right.
So,
well,
I mean,
you know, for example, you had the gentleman from Ghost Adventures on about, what, a week and a half ago or something like that?
Yeah, three weeks ago.
Right. And I, you know, that was like an hour-long spot, and then you went to 3 hours with another guest. And I really feel that you could have gotten a full four-hour show out of those, out of Zach and Nick.
Would have loved to have heard you do that. I mean, I that's where a lot of people feel like that they would have if they could have, and I think that's great. But we had a lot of topics to get to, and we were doing a lot of ghost stuff all through the month of October, and I had a couple other ghost guests on. So we run the risk of being criticized from the other side of, oh, you guys talk about our ghosts. So,
well,
you know,
that is the heart of Coast to Coast. I mean, really, that was... That's
no.
Attracted all the listeners to Coast to Coast.
No, it's not. That's not fair. That's not true to say the heart of Coast to Coast is ghosts. It's not.
It's ghosts. It's aliens. It's, you know, government cover-ups. It's the Illuminati. It's MJ-12. But, you know, we don't hear about enough of that kind of stuff anymore. And instead, you know, we're hearing more about the TSA stuff. And I've been hearing a lot of stuff about the economy. I feel like it should get back to its original.
You want a mythical return to something that never existed. You want to,
oh,
and
no,
I'm just going to, wait, Scott, I'm going to tell you, I've been part of this show for 13 years. Everything we talk about, we were talking about 13 years ago too. And so there is this, you are reimagining a time when that's all we talked about. The beauty of Coast to Coast has always been that we've always addressed a wide range of topics. The fact that other people now talk about the things we used to talk about and we were the only ones who were talking about it, that is a reality we live with all the time. Before there was a Ghost Hunters TV show, we were talking about ghosts.
I understand
But there's ghost shows everywhere, and everybody else is rehashing the same material. So I would say to you, Scott, and I hope you would pass this along to the other people in your Facebook chat, let me finish. That whoever it is that you're talking about is just let them know when the world zigs, we zag, and we always have. And so that's part of what we do on Coast. You don't enjoy it. You don't enjoy it. Not every guest and not every topic is for every listener every night. And I understand this one isn't for you. I get that. That's totally fair too, but it's always true. It's true for every topic and every night, not every guest, not every host for that matter is for every listener. And we try to give you a wide range of stuff, the stuff that's, you know, firmly with our feet, you know, up to our ankles in the clay of the earth, and the other stuff that we're looking up into the sky to see. And we're trying to figure out what life is all about that we don't hear about from other places. Sometimes it's the economy. Sometimes it's the things that people aren't telling us in mainstream media. Sometimes it's just a chance to vent. But, you know, it's too nice a night for me to spend a lot of time talking about how badly we're doing our jobs as far as you're concerned. But you're welcome to your opinion on that, too. And I just say we're just always trying to do something new, and we love new. So go out, Scott and other guys, and create new, and then let us know what you're doing. And we'd love to talk about it on Coast to Coast. Bill is in Statesville, North Carolina, wild card line on Coast to Coast. Bill?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I'd like to play the devil's advocate, if I may.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, it just concerns me about, you know, your religious partakings about, you know, if you lead people into captivity, you yourself have to go into captivity.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, if you have a congregation, a priest or a preacher or any type of person who would try to have a congregation to lead them towards the beliefs and the narrow-mindedness of a certain sect of any type, you're leading people into captivity in their mind. And you yourself must go into captivity, according to the Bible.
I'm not. Why do I have to?
Well, the thing is, and also, I think...
No. Why do I have to? I'm not. I'm not in captivity.
Right, because the thing is, the more that you try to lead others, the more that you lead yourself. And leading yourself, the power of leading oneself is a godly power, a very high power to lead yourself. And if you leading yourself in a wrong direction to lead others in a wrong direction, you yourself will go into captivity.
I understand that. That's your opinion. You're welcome to do that. I don't think I am. So I'm not in captivity. I won't be just because you say I am. But I have my beliefs.
Well, God, I love you, and I don't want to cause any heartache, but I would like to talk.
There's no heartache here. I'm trying to address just what you're saying, so I'm just trying to understand it.
That's just from the Bible, you know. That's from Revelation about, you know, people leading into captivity. But anyway, also from Revelation, it says, you know, John was bound down in Revelation 22:9 to worship an angel, and... I think he perceived that angel to be the angel of Jesus.
Well, how are you not binding me to captivity right now?
I'm setting you free.
How?
Because I'm trying to lead you to the truth.
And what's the truth?
The truth is that it tells you specifically twice in Revelations not to bow down to Jesus. It's do not... Okay. Bow down. I am one of your fellow servants. Worship God, period. Okay. And omnipoint God. And omnipoint is also used in the book of Revelation. Not a trifold God, not a multi-God. Omnipoint.
Okay. Omnipoint. We'll leave it there. Let me get to John in St. Louis, Missouri on Coast to Coast. John?
Hey, and... As regards to the caller before the last one, as far as you guys not sticking on point on the psychic, whatever it is, you got the biggest compliment from one of the smartest people in the world, Howard Bloom, tonight. He said that you have the ability to look at broad topics and synthesize it down within a sentence or two. He said that you were a genius.
That was very nice, but that we all know that word gets used a lot with a little G. So I think Howard was being very nice when he said that. But I'm glad it's always good to have Howard's voice on Coast to Coast.
No, Howard. See, I'm a part of Coast to Coast. I'm the biggest Coast to Coast groupie. I'm personal friends with George Norrie here in St. Louis, and I've listened to Art since 1992. And when 9/11 happened, then Art brought Howard on for us to help to process what happened at 9/11, and that's how Howard connected to us as a Coast to Coast audience. And I've had the pleasure of getting to know Howard a little bit. It's been a few years since I've been back to New York City. I live in St. Louis. And I've had the opportunity to, when Howard was still in that quote-unquote bedridden state, I was able to meet him in his upstairs apartment in Brooklyn.
Oh, cool. Well, that's interesting. You went to the mountaintop.
I've met with him a couple times, took the subway over to there in Brooklyn and gotten to know Howard a little bit. And Howard's, you know, we're all so different since 9/11. And what I want to say is that we've all changed since 9/11, and that the Coast to Coast has its pulse on the heartbeat of consciousness. And you're saying, you know, Howard's encouraging us. You know, the last guy said to you're making captives of us. No, you're not. Howard is saying, and you're saying, push the limits of consciousness. Create something new. Take us to a new place. Stop looking backwards, you know, or we'll turn to a pillar of salt.
Yep.
Now's time. We have the ability of consciousness. We've learned through Artbell. We've learned through George Norris. We've learned through Ian Punning how to push the bounds of consciousness. You know, we are all one, and we're like one person. You know, we're all communicating here on Coast to Coast AM, 16 million people, 20 million people as one. I mean, well, this is the greatest experiment. I'm sorry. You know,
I love it. No, that's spoken like an evangelist, and I mean that in the correct way. That was really good, and thank you for those kind words of encouragement. I'll tell you what, though. Let's do this. Let's just say for the last hour, no mentions at all of TSA. You can't say the word TSA. You can't talk about airport security for the last hour. I'm sure there are a few people who are waiting to get on to do just that, and you have my apologies in advance. You're welcome to stay on the line and talk about something else, but let's just do that. For the last hour, we'll make it a TSA security-free conversation. And then let's see where that conversation goes coming up next. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett.